here we go. Let's hear what they say. Power go, we're on our way. Escape to reality. Escape to reality. Escape to reality. Escape to reality.
Welcome everyone to Escape to Reality Podcast with Justine.
And Geneva. Hello, friends. So we dropped one Love is Blind episode of just Justine and I, the OGs. And now you're going to hear our recap of episode 5 with the wonderful gentleman from Bad TV, who we love. They've become our regular collaborators. We love them. And we had a great conversation.
Great time. Yeah.
And that's that. So we hope you guys enjoy it. This is episode 5 of Love is Blind. You get double thoughts from us this week. Living your best life. We love you guys.
Thoughts, T-H-O-T-S.
Yeah, baby. All right. Here you go, guys. Enjoy.
Okay. So we've come to the end of the first half of the 4th season of Netflix's Love is Blind, producing you guys. So that's why I just like jumped into it. Usually
I love it. That's show. Cool. Okay. They already know who we are.
Groovy. No, seriously. Our fans love you guys.
That's nice.
So we are running on fumes in Mexico. Some couples are strengthening. Some couples are quite literally falling to pieces. What did you guys think about the 5th episode of Netflix's Love is Blind? We usually go on a scale of 1 to 100 blindfolds, but you know, just how are you guys feeling about this last episode?
It was like 100 blindfold for me. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Out of the 5, it was a six, 1 out of 10.
Oh, six out of 10.
It was good, but some of the other episodes, like with Micah and Kwame getting that heavy was by too. The pool, that revved my engines more. But yeah.
I think what got me was, and I know we're going to talk about Irina, the worst human being alive, but when she covered her face with a pillow while he was like trying to ask her what they were going to do, and just their entire Irina and Zach, I could watch 100 times. That was gold to me.
There were some hot spots. Yeah. What about you guys?
Well, I walked in today and told Pat, like, I'm struggling with how venomous I want to be towards a cure 25-year-old who needs microneedling. It's mean because she's young and I feel like she could get better, but I also think that there's an evil to her, the solar plexus of her soul that I don't think is going to get much better.
I think vicious was the perfect way to describe her, as he said.
Yes.
People get insecure about stuff and it manifests in nasty ways. But with Irina, she turns into a mean girl on her best days and a demonic force on other days. Like, just because you're insecure, it does not mean that you have to be a shitty human being. With that being said, I'm kind of loving the casting. I think that we've got some really solid couples. I think Tiffany is a sleeper cell. I think that she is going to possibly
because she fell asleep.
I think she could be maybe taking the podium from Irina as the villain of the show.
Oh, later. Really?
Really?
I think so. I'm seeing some.
I love that gut instinct. Oh my
God. I need to expand on this. What are you touching on? What's happening? What are you seeing?
I think that Tiffany, and it might be any fault of hers, I'm not trying to miss Clea this too hard, but I feel like she may develop a complex of I'm not worthy for this man, and she'll rip his fucking heart out at the end. It won't be quite a Zeneb kind of takedown, but I'm fearful that she's going to play it throughout the entire season that she loves this guy and then she's going to shit on him at the altar.
The opposite, that she might think she's better than him. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. All right. So one thing I have overall with now
70 blindfolds.
Episode 5, I feel like I'm starting to really dig into who these people are because now they're out of the pods. Now got a couple cocktails in them. One thing I'm shocked by, and I hate that it's just, well, there's the cast and the immaturity level of most of the cast members. Speaking of Jackie, Micah, and Irina, I'm sorry that I'm pointing out just three females. Jackie is my favorite.
Oh, amazing.
But she starts rounding third.
I know.
The mean girl.
The loony bin. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Micah is just, I hate to say it, is pretty basic to me.
She's Blake Lively.
She's a catfish.
She's Lake Havasu basic.
Yeah. We can see her.
She belongs. She's on The Bachelor. She's on
Girls
like,
Gone
Are
Wild.
You the One. 95. She's like that kind of vibe. She doesn't belong on the show. She just.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating to hear both Paul and Zach, or even, I'm sorry, rather Kwame, speak of Micah and that emotional connection to what I think
I know.
An 18-year-old mean girl.
Yeah.
Not much there, surface level. And maybe it's just their, I guess they're just dissecting. Their eyes and
she's a pool noodle of a human being. She's
is her voice that sexy that it's just transfixed these men? It's
I
crazy.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. But another thing, really quickly, we talked about how scientist Paul has this veneer of like, I'm just a nerdy guy that likes to go out and just botanic shit. I think he might be a scumbag. I mean, he's a secret scumbag.
100%. Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you guys this, because you're both married. We're married.
Yeah.
If you're like the way that they're approaching these interactions with other women, like just the way that they're talking, like if we take Micah, and I know it's not this episode, but like we take Micah and Kwame, the way they're touching, talking, the way Paul and Irina in this episode are like finger flicking each other when they're at the bar, like, is that not inappropriate once you're engaged? Like
my wife, when we were dating for 3 months, if I talk to a girl while I'm ordering a drink at a bar too long,
she'd cut your dick off.
Yeah, she and it, by the pool. If I was pulling this bullshit with Micah and Kwame did poolside, where they were holding each other's hands, I would have gotten a bucket of water over my head.
Now my wife is a little more subdued. Matt's wife, who is quite a raptor.
raptor, good way. I love that.
Keeps me aligned.
My wife would just be so hurt by this. She would definitely give me the business, but she would just be destroyed.
Does she yell? Does your wife yell ever?
She yells. If I get her there, she yells. If she yells, I've done something wrong, because she doesn't yell too often. But she would just be, it would be such a betrayal of what we have to. But the thing is, we would never do that to our partners because we actually love them, because we saw them before we got engaged. Don't have a meaningless fucking flimsy Nick and Vanessa Lachey curated relationship.
I wonder what point
Justine brought up something yesterday, because we were talking about Love is Blind, like the other episodes. She was saying, like, what if when they were in the pods they got to like see the person like really quickly, and like the other person.
Now Geneva likes this theory. I'm just wondering
that if they saw a glimpse halfway through or something, would that change the game? Like, does it take away the sauce if they see each other just for a flash and then make a decision?
I like that idea, and that might be something
like The Voice.
They're on episode four, season 14, and they got to change it up. You get 1 second, but it might sacrifice you getting to talk to the other person.
Oh yeah, they get to choose whether or not they want to.
Yeah, things like that. But
and I also
I would say some of the better parts of what's happening, and this is a phenomenal. My blindfolds for the first 5 episodes, just in general, is 100.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great.
I haven't been this engaged with television in a long
time.
It's
really, really good.
And part of that
is so good.
I always say what makes good reality TV is a villain. We have a few here, and all. I love that storyline of Zach, who I don't think is as gross as everybody has for him. But
I was driving today thinking about how I want him. So I've turned on by little Zach.
Yeah, but just by her not seeing him and being so, I can't say personally in my life I've ever been that disgusted with someone, like on a blind date, or where I'd be that mean to them.
Yeah.
What makes her a horrible person is she didn't stop. There's a point where you can say, look, this is uncomfortable for me, I have this like ick factor for you, but to just be openly mean to him for, I think it was 3 days or whatever, how long they're in Mexico.
Yeah.
Wonderful television. I feel bad for him, but it's great to see.
I feel bad.
He was always nice to her and respectful too. He never really,
he literally like tries to touch her and she goes, eek! Like he's like a leper. It's, I've never seen somebody treat somebody like that. It's insane.
For a rude awakening in the court of public opinion. She's going to get demolished. Let's see if she's smart or stupid enough for it to take. But our fans are going to get annoyed with us because we've said it every episode and we're dropping them in quick succession. So the thing with her is that she is a barbecue person. She is the kind of person on the show who's meant to never in a million years make it out of those pods. She is supposed to be by a bonfire in episode 8, kind of mixing it up with the people who are actually on the show. So there, by the grace of God, she made it out of these pods. She is so, she has such an inflated view of herself. I think she thinks she deserves somebody like Channing Tatum, but she is just relishing this freak lotto ticket that she got this paid vacation. And she's just going to drag it out. And she's,
I thought
just,
you meant barbecue person, like she belongs in a barbecue restaurant eating ribs and sucking her fingers. That's what I thought you meant.
She looks like, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that.
No, but with Dylan and I, very much like Game of Roses, we want to create the book of language and definitions for Love is Blind.
Yes. What we call, I love that though.
Well, we call them barbecue people, which they show up to the episode 8 when everyone else is hanging out in there. They're quote unquote.
Yep.
Oh, Corey, I remember you.
Yeah. But we also call them seat fillers. So Irina was meant to be a seat filler that was crafty enough to rise to the top and get on here, but she should have been just a barbecue person or a seat filler.
Yeah. So, she's not ready for prime time because she's not done enough self work, but anyways,
the internet karma is going to come ruin her life. I said to Geneva real quick, I think that part of the problem with the show is it takes away from the real Love is Blind aspect, is that they put the girls were talking. And so it kind of became competitive because they could see that someone else was kind of going forward with Kwame or going forward with Paul. Like, I think Micah went for Paul faster than she would have because she heard that whoever was going for
Paul too, Irina, right?
Or Chelsea was going for Micah.
Oh, Chelsea. Yeah.
Or no, Irina was going for Paul. And I just think it kind of gets competitive too. And they might not have gone that fast. So it kind of takes away from them.
Chelsea played the game. So she kept it close to the vest.
She did.
Mm-hmm. Once you start sharing, you're interested in somebody. So maybe more people, as they see this, and the show probably gets worse because now people come on to be insta thotties.
Yeah.
But you play the game. Don't say who you're into when you're in the quarters. You know?
Yeah, you can't.
They can't talk. They should. I think they should just go to an isolated room, not even be in with the other women.
That would be great because it would be mentally more worn down if they were just in.
Exactly.
What's that criminal thing that we do?
Facebook crimes?
No. Those are not
solitary confinement.
Solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go.
Really ruin them. Yeah.
I'm hungover if you can't tell. So let's get into the show. We begin first with the kid on Christmas morning herself, Irina. Zach says that he hasn't told her at all what he looks like, and he doesn't think that's going to be. This is episode 4.
I was.
What am I doing? What
you're hungover? I can tell.
Episode 5.
I was like, wait, this is episode 5. Okay.
We kick things off with a very, very sad moment for Jack.
Well, Jackie tells, by the way, we call,
what the fuck is going on?
We call Mike a wine hag because from season 1, Jessica, how she would get wasted and then start getting touchy with the guy that she really was into.
Yeah.
Micah does the same thing. So we call her wine hag.
She is wine hag.
Any confusion, we may refer to her as wine hag.
Yeah. She is a barmaid. Okay.
Or black savages.
So Jackie tells Winehag that Chelsea's upset. Now, this is what's interesting. Jackie has been Chelsea's friend the entire time.
Yeah.
Yet it would appear to me that tipping off Micah, and then she also said that Micah wanted Kwame and she should have taken him. Like, Jackie, you're my favorite. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah. I thought she was above shading Chelsea when she wasn't there, but she says that Micah doesn't want her man, and if she did, she would go and get him. Mm-hmm. And also I don't know, fucking incorrect. Weinhag kind of looks at her feet and she's like, yeah, totally. I would totally.
I don't think she has any interest in Kwame. I think she likes the attention. I don't think she's actually like, I don't know. I don't get the sense she actually likes him. Like if Micah was like, hey, I want to marry you, I don't think she would say yes.
I think
she's there for Instagram followers too.
So into him, because how could you not be? I mean, I'm into him. I mean, the guy is cut out of granite. I mean, it's insane how hot he is.
No, oh God, I don't think he's hot at all.
Once he started singing, I kind of tuned out.
Now, we all like him or his looks, but it turns out the group, when they're referring to Zach, they don't like him.
I think
him.
His personality has turned me off so much. Zach looks like Brad Pitt compared to Kwame to me.
Yeah.
Well, I think Zach's better looking than Kwame, but the woman, they all he has the ick factor, and it's so often that they wouldn't even hire him as their attorney because all the judges would hate him.
I know.
That was crazy.
Well,
why do they hate him so much?
People are going to feel shitty at the reunion for piling on Zach because I don't think they know what he went through, the Ripper mom and dead mom and the stuffy and stuff. And then he's treated like
stuffy.
So I think at the reunion, Ralph and Zach are going to get quite a round of applause because he hasn't done anything wrong. He's just weird and he shouldn't be on this show. He's too fucking weird.
He's too damaged. Yeah.
Yeah. So Zach and Paul have a chat. They talk about how Irina is cool in private and mean in public. And then Paul goes and sits down with Irina. Now, here is where we see that Paul is a fucking certified scumbag, because not only is he doing what Micah did, but he's doing it, according to the edit, right after he talked to his white brethren, Zach, and then went immediately to his girl and started play biting at her hand. I'm nauseated.
Do I look like the way I look, you think?
The biting of the fingers is like, I don't even know what that was. That's insane. It's just so inappropriate.
It's not.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
What a nervous tick.
Well, okay, so the confusing thing, yes, once again, Zach, you fool. What are you doing? Your enemy, you're giving him all the information that he needs to know that he can probably have Irina. And by the way, when did she become a desired...
Right, I know. It's like, what world am I watching?
You guys can say this, and
you can't.
I will say this inadvertently by saying this, but we've had a couple of different women on the show, and they've all said... Yeah. This season is tore up from the floor up, some said, ugly cast. But yeah, how Irina is this, I don't know, Miss Universe of Love is Blind is mind-blowing.
See, I would say this, like if she had a sparkling personality, I would not like, if she would be fine. It's
troll
it's
on her.
Her
yeah.
personality is like leading into how I perceive her. And it's like, because her body isn't bad. Like sometimes when I see her, I'm like, she comes out, tits out. Like I can see the appeal just like if you were far, far away, like a Monet situation. But it's just
an ambular.
The personality is disgusting. And it's just, she's so unattractive to me because
human
of that.
Puke emoji or something.
You know, I will say this. So Zach keeps questioning, you know, why, what's going on here? And it's the answer is there. She has the sophistication of a ninth grader and she thinks you're goofy. Like it's over and done.
Yeah.
But he struggles.
She's like a middle schooler. The way she acts is like literally like a teenage girl covering her face. You know, it's like all of it is so immature and just like, it's just disgusting behavior.
She should be praising the Lord that Zach likes her. Or is being nice.
He has a job. He's employed.
I don't know what generation she's from. I don't know if she's Gen Z or a millennial. I think she's
not millennial. She's like below that.
She's 26, maybe.
She had this arrested.
She's alpha.
He's so lazy. So she Me is just a hardworking millennial. I'm really disgusted by it. But in the first episode or second episode, she's like, I didn't have time to do anything for your birthday. They're literally sitting eating hot pockets and talking shit on people. They do nothing. They don't even have.
I know. They literally
just she could pounding Chardonnay.
Make a card with like crayons.
Then when she's talking to Zach, talking in episode four, they're talking about borscht and how she's Russian, and it makes so much sense that she could not be bothered with embracing her culture and learning how to make. She's just too baseline. She's a moron, and she because she has the emotional intelligence of a 14-year-old girl. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, well, Zach should have run for the hills. Maybe he has horrible instincts. Maybe he would get his client sentenced.
He deserves what he got, I believe. Yeah.
Well, I'll say this. I think Justine and I talked about this when we talked about the other episodes. Like, I think Bliss screwed herself by talking about Irene. That like turned him off of her, and like he couldn't. I don't know. It was like that, like he turned how he felt about her and ruined it. He made the wrong choice. I think he picked her because he sees like some of his mom in her or something, like either the struggle or like the, I think there's some kind of like savior complex where he was like, ooh, I'm going to take this kind of messy chick and like, you know, bring her up, and it backfired.
I said literally the exact same thing when we were talking about it on episode two. I thought that when Bliss showed him that she was being thoughtful towards him and that with him, it turned him off, and he sees Irina, and he's the,
it's like the savior complex.
God forbid you pick the nice person who would celebrate your birthday.
Exactly.
And I think Bliss would have not thought he was like a, I don't know, a troll, and like probably would have been nicer. Like, I mean, the way she, what Irina said the second she sees him, which is like, you look like a cartoon character. You're creepy. Stop looking. I mean, like, that's insane. It's really insane.
At the time I looked at it as their first meeting, I thought, right, she's mature, she'll get over this. This
no.
is
just,
this give her crazy. The benefit, right?
I gave her the benefit of the doubt. But as I've gotten to know her, I try and be more optimistic. And sorry to keep harping on Irina, but I want to believe that she can grow beyond this, and this is just an immature phase, and that she can be better. But I am slowly starting to think she's a fully formed person. And if someone was holding a briefcase of cash and they were falling off a cliff, I know it's a weird scenario, she would grab the cash and let the person fall off.
Oh, she would.
Oh, 100%.
Kick them over.
Micah
cliff.
Would push the person together, and they would run off. And they're two little bad people.
She is really lucky. This probably is her last episode, because America would hate her even more. I don't think she even showed a glimpse of how bad she could be.
One second.
Is she going to be around more?
How much cash is in the briefcase?
10 grand.
Oh, well, that's
10 grand. That's a low amount.
She'd do 50 bucks.
That's 50 bucks.
She's so heartless.
No, I know, but I can be heartless depending on the amount of money in that suitcase. Anyways,
add another zero and see you later. Sorry, sucker.
Yeah, I don't know you. I don't know you. I got a family to feed. So let's get to the conversation between Kwame and.
This is our first couple fight. It's our first couple fight.
Well, I'm excited to see how he gets himself out of this one. I am so heartbroken that Chelsea is with Kwame, because I think Chelsea is fucking awesome. And
I think she's a stand-up person.
She's a stand-up person. She's a solid fucking human being. And I'm so happy that she lays into him and doesn't really buy any of his leadership conference horse shit. He tells her, you need leadership conference. That if I do something, there is a thought through intention behind it, which is those are just fucking, that's ad lib leadership conference horseshit. And she just calls him out. She's like, that's absolute bullshit. I don't know what you just
do
said.
You want to buy his timeshare? Yeah,
exactly. So I was happy that she laid into him, but I'm also very concerned that she is going to keep lengthening his leash.
I know.
Goes on.
Sorry, your thoughts?
Oh, do you think that she should have been so... Do you think that's normal for her to, when he said, I want to go see Micah and see how she's meet her and, you know, kind of make amends with her even before they met at the pool. And she's like, yeah, no problem. Do you think she should show that she cares a little bit more then? Or is that
she didn't know what it was going to be though.
But like, I think that's a sign right there that he's like, I want to leave you and go see Micah one on one. That's a pretty red flag.
Here's one thing that Chelsea didn't see. Was them holding hands, looking into each other's eyes.
Right. I knew she didn't see that. Because if she'd seen that, it would have been a different situation.
In bathing suits.
Angle.
Right.
Yeah. Disgusting.
if the whole, if that little scene right there had been seen by her, because she, at least in editing, it showed her walking off. I would like to believe had she seen that, she would have ran over there and let him have it.
Yeah, I think so too. Even without seeing that, you can just, there's an energy that's shitty to what they were doing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I feel like he's gaslighting her and he's going to continue to play around with Micah and fuck her over in the end. And Chelsea's like, I just like, she's solid. Like, even when you apologize the next day and was like, I woke up and I'm feeling bad and I could have done better. And she's like, I've moved on.
She's a
and
little
like her,
nuts,
just her
though.
Vibe. Like, that's a solid woman. Like, she actually took his apology and like moved on. She doesn't know how bad it was, but
she's nice, know? But she seemed a little mentally ill in the pods. She's a nice girl. I really like her, but she's too.
Her pod portrayal wasn't the best. It was a lot of crying and like, I want to be spiritually connected to my husband in bed.
You cannot be a solid human being because she's on the show. So she's
that's true.
But she's nice. I like her.
So she asks him if he regrets not picking her. And when he says no, she tells him, then that's it. Just fucking let it go. Let's move on. That's all she can do. So we hit the pool with Jack and Marshall.
I have something here.
Jack and Diane.
Wait, I need to know what you guys think about this one.
All right, I'm going to get this, but I'm a detailed mother effer. All right. Did you see when that hotel waiter put the food on the tray and then pushed the food? Okay. The resort, the TRS resort needs to take this off the menu. I like eating food by the pool, not in the pool.
No,
so gross.
Pastrami sandwich, it might have traces of a 4-year-old's pee on it.
No.
Oh, it's disgusting.
No.
Come.
There's housewives that eat in hot tubs, and it's just, we talk about that all the time. It's disgusting.
You can't eat in a pool, in a large public pool. That's disgusting. If you have like a private villa and somebody gives you a floaty meal, that's different, but not in a public pool. It's unacceptable. It's
okay. Elderly people frequent these resorts.
Yeah.
And look what's coming out of them.
They do leak. The elderly tend to leak.
It depends. Not cover everything in the pool.
Yeah. It's so funny. You guys said large public pool because it is quite a large public pool. I mean, I'd hazard a guess to say probably anywhere from 400 to 800,000 gallons. And there's no one here. What's going on at this resort?
It's like 2020 again, where they're like, it's like COVID, like they shut down a resort to film. It is weird. There's nobody around.
They could have done that.
But
I bet they did. Yeah.
She is really torqued here. And I am all for it. She is just
talking shit,
laying into people. She says, Zach needs to stay the fuck away from me at least 6 feet. And then she calls Irina a peasant.
Peasant. That was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Weirdo.
Right. Her justification for calling her a peasant and her specific personal definition of peasant was very convoluted and it didn't make any sense. But I do think that she's right on. Because Irina is a fucking peasant. And the my favorite thing is just this spicy Latina kind of thing where she reminds me of Cardi B. She calls Marshall her tonto, which means dumbass in Spanish. I
loved that.
I love her. I love the two of them.
I do too.
Do you guys think she's that she's going to destroy Marshall like I do? I think she's going to absolutely like destroy him.
I totally agree with you. I think she's going to eat him out and spit him out.
I don't know.
Because like,
eat him up like Irina would. I just think that that's
in a different way. She's gonna demasculate him into
she's
like
done
she's
with
already,
him already
positioned it as like I'm used to the 6'5" ballers and like he's this little shrimp like guy, and she's gonna continue to just like push that narrative until he's
she saw
a
Brett
shell of himself. Yeah.
She yeah. That's Brett, what she wants.
For Brett.
Brett is a stunning human being, but I think that she's not going to push him away because she's like over him. I just think that scene, which took far too long, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
The crying scene.
If it's in episode 4 or 5, but yeah. I think she's got some real fucking heavy shit going on at home.
Oh yeah.
So I think that might be the thing that ruins them. I she might not be ready for a relationship like this.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a combo.
Did they ever mention what was going on in her life in the pods?
Ride for
we couldn't recall.
So I was like, can we move on?
Well,
please?
She just keeps saying that, you know, this is not real, this life that they're in now. And she keeps referring to taking care of a lot of people back home.
Right.
And a
responsibility.
I mean, I'd argue that's most human beings, but
I mean, she was acting like she's a first round draft pick taking care of her entire hometown. You know what I mean? Like that was the vibe I got. Like, it was really like, I got all these people on my
payroll. I had, like, what's
the
happening?
Luxury until I had kids to feel like I was just a one woman show, just living life. So I feel bad for her. No kids, and she feels this way.
At 26, she's taking care of all these people. Something's gone wrong. Like at 26, I was an asshole taking care of no one.
Something's bad. She had to grow up. But we move on to Tiffany and Brett, who porked. I can't tell you anything about what they talked about. I find them to be boring as fuck. But
my note here is super boring.
Yeah. They're going to make it. My notes, why they're boring.
I just put they are solid, but too solid question mark. That's how I feel. Like, it's just like, I feel like it's a ticking time bomb to something that's going to, I don't know. It can't be this smooth the whole
pair of Adidas sneakers and he'll dump her.
Yeah. Well, that's so it. Let's move on then to white people in ATVs, hooded ATVs, heading to go pollute the beauties of cenotes all across Mexico. Or cenotes. Yes. They have zero chemistry.
Zilch.
None.
They hate your cousins. First cousins.
They're cousins. She's like, oh, you love plants. And that's a fine thing to say to a cousin because you don't have to fuck them or have children married to them. But Micah is Lake Havasu trash, and she's not into.
She plugs her nose when she jumps in the water. That's all I have to see.
I thought her complaining from the second they were in the ATV, like, eh, it's dusty, it's this, it's that. She's that person. She's the person who complains on vacation. She just, like, again, her vibe is, and he's sitting there clueless, like, I do love the jungle. And she's like, I want to murder you. You know, it's I don't think he gets how much she's not into it.
I hadn't gotten the idea that they're related, but with the chemistry. But now that I think about it, when they went down to that Blue Lagoon, if you guys remember that movie you couldn't make today, Dylan, are you familiar with the Blue Lagoon?
Well, that's a great movie, by the way.
There's a shipwreck in like 1800s and a brother and sister that are like 10.
Brooke Shields.
I forget the Jesse something Ames or something. They end up being stuck on an island and they end up having sex with each other and creating,
like, fall in love.
Yeah. That's Micah and Paul.
Yeah.
They're brother and sister. Yeah,
they do. They really do seem that way.
I could literally, like, we got to put them in the Blue Lagoon remake. It would, like, be a hit. Isn't that a crazy movie that was made? Like, children falling in love.
She's like an inbred Brooke Shields, kind of. So that makes sense.
That's a compliment to Micah, I feel like.
That was a movie in like 1980. I can't believe it was made.
Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, you got to look it up. Yeah. Filmed in Jamaica.
NBC. I'd watched it with my grandmother on a Sunday night.
Because I've seen.
Look at that girl's eyebrows.
I've seen Deep Blue Sea.
Different movie.
And I've seen.
No, different movie. Look it up after this and just watch it.
It's your wife. Be like, for a birthday treat, we're going to watch a great movie I've heard about.
I went on a date to see the film Kids. Have you ever seen that?
I had to see Kids in my Controversy in America class in high school.
I don't know what movie that is.
Teenagers having sex with each other, and one of them has AIDS, and it's, basically they.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a fun. Jesus Christ.
Have you seen 13 with Evan Rachel Wood?
Oh my God, yes. I was just going to say that. Traumatized for a
traumatizing movie in my life.
Like the way more intense precursor to that.
Oh my God.
Very cinema verite documentary style, and it's just a bunch of raccoon children giving AIDS to one another.
Oh, now, my God. It's a classic.
Now there's Euphoria. I walk by my wife watching that. I'm like, what the? You're 35. What the hell are you watching that show?
Yeah, Euphoria is great, but it's dark as fuck. And
did you see 13, Geneva?
You want to have teenagers. Oh, yeah. I remember 13.
Oh, and you still watch Euphoria. Me. Geneva can watch everything. She has a very healthy mind.
Healthy mind. I watch sick shit.
I've never watched Euphoria.
She can move on.
Sound like a rhino or anything, but is Euphoria bad for children? Is that like a bad?
Yeah, that, like, if you have a daughter, it's kind of scary.
Well, you guys, I would say for you guys, you should be afraid because you live in LA. I feel like raising teenagers in LA is like, it's the Wild West.
They could be,
you know what I mean? And that's what it's showing, like,
home cooked meth in Kansas too. So who knows?
Well, true, anywhere. But LA has a special appeal for teenagers, I feel like.
13 scarred me for life. I think that's why I don't watch Euphoria.
Yeah, no. In LA, there was a kid every year getting expelled for some insane drug that I learned about when they were expelled for it. Like black tar heroin. I didn't know 16-year-olds.
They're just trying to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, the first time I went to a party in LA with my cousin when I was in high school, I was like 14. I saw Guns and Coke. I was like, what the hell? What's happening? You're like, here?
I'm home, baby.
Party. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm moving to LA.
Los Angeles, California. All right. So let's get to the Aztec ceremony, which is exactly what Chelsea and Kwame needed, I guess.
Well, for his indiscretions, he needs to wash them away. This is, in a way, a healing ceremony.
Yeah, exactly. They drink a stranger beverage offered to them by a shamanic person, and they hug one another while listening to drums and an Aztec death whistle, I think, and they fall in love with each other.
Well, Kwame notes, he's like, hey, these Mayans really know what they're doing, or they do what they're talking about. I'd like to remind him the Mayans were also the civilization that invented human sacrifice.
No, they didn't invent
that. Is true.
Step on up, Irina.
I would have wished they had drank like ayahuasca, and like that would have been great to see, like, where do we end? You know what I mean? Like, let's take these two through an ayahuasca trip get and naked see where. And- Yeah, and just like watch them cry started. And throw up and like, do they end up together? That would have been good.
They get naked, they shit their pants, and they find out that they should not be.
They hate each other.
I'd rather watch that than that dumb ceremony.
Yeah.
I'd be pissed I go to that ceremony when I could be riding ATVs and jumping in nice water.
If it was my fifth day or fourth day, I'd be like, yeah, let's do this. I guess that's cool. But
I'd rather go to Catholic Church Mass for an hour than sit through. I mean, I just don't have it in me.
We joke all the time about when like chuggy white people go down to South America.
I love that.
There is a paying back the colonizer kind of thing where they say that things are ritualistic, but they just drink Mountain Dew and spit it in their face. And they just say like it's supposed to cleanse you.
Love that. We deserve it.
We deserve it. Yeah. We
didn't on this. Chelsea, once again, what a good sport and a sweetheart. She said, that when she looks into Kwame's eyes, she sees forever. And I was thinking, good thing you can't read his mind, because you'd see him bending Mike over a jacuzzi.
That's exactly right.
After the season's over, right, exactly. Oh, God. It's sad.
I feel like Mike and Kwame are either having sex right now or will have sex in the future.
You can't stop.
100%. And then in a bar
domestic
bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, maybe it did help because Kwame does apologize. We talked about it earlier. It feels like he means it, but he's also so leadership conference. So I feel like Kwame, I don't know. We'll see. I don't buy it for a goddamn second. Not a goddamn second. All right, let's get to the weirdo and the peasant. This is the pillow covering the face moment that we were referring to. Irina tells Zach that she's been tossing and turning all night because she wants to fuck Paul. And now that the barbecue girl is on her last day of paid vacation, she's now ready to kind of torpedo this relation.
Yeah. That's so true.
Now, the ending doesn't happen yet. That's the last scene, right?
That's this evening, the last day. So she's just kind of tempering. She's done, though.
Wow.
She's planting seeds.
Yeah,
I would have thought she would have played the game a little bit better and just get through filming.
Right.
But the fact that she is so grossed out by him.
Yeah.
She can't contain.
It is the you have to be grateful. If you're a barbecue person and you've gotten the paid vacation, you can't get greedy. You know, you can't, because everything after this is just hard work. You move into apartments. Yeah. It's not as mango margarita-y as it is. So I think it was actually pretty cunning of her to go, yeah, this is the best it's going to get. I got to hang out with Frack or Frick or whatever her name is and get fucking wasted. So I'm done.
I will say this. Like, I give Zach, I actually give him some credit for like reading the tea leaves and calling it, because there's some guys who are pathetic who will like, I'm going to make her love me. And like, eventually she'll not like get the ick, you know? And like I do Chelsea. Like that. He's just like, this is not like, I do appreciate that he calls it, because a lot of guys wouldn't, especially on the show. Like, and he's just like, fuck it. This day, I made the wrong choice. And let's be done. So I give him credit.
I feel like Damien of season one would not let, he would just keep fighting with her. And then
exactly
he would,
for forever.
Like, you know, I love her and we're going to make it to the altar, but it's like, this is not gonna work.
Yeah,
and I like him just saying like, it's been fucking horrible. Like, it has, like, just call a spade, you know. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I have to say, my notes that I was thinking during this particular scene where she did the pillow, that's when you should say, look, I'm out of here.
But right, you get up,
gotta come on, get out of here. And then to the end.
Well, this pillow thing is the peasant shit that Jackie was talking about. How anyone does this to someone who is, it's not that he's like just having a conversation about like, I don't know, Magic the Gathering, and she's not into it. So she put it all over her face. He's trying to have a serious conversation.
Yes.
She's so insecure, emotionally unintelligent, that she does these weird things. She's not in control. She's not reconciled with her shadow self. So she's doing neurotic things that just make her seem a gargantuan bitch.
I mean, she's like my toddler. Like, if I'm telling him not to do something and he's like, don't look at me, don't look at my face. Like, it's literally like a 3-year-old, you know? It's just, it's gross.
Yeah, she just fucking sucks.
Yeah, she's horrible.
She sucks.
She's almost, she sucks, but it's almost great too at the same time.
No, it's great television.
Got some balls on her.
As they're like brushing their teeth, like talking about how much they hate each other.
Like, I loved that.
I'm so excited to get there because that was Hitler and Ava in the bunker. Just, you're going to kill yourself? Yeah, I'll kill myself if you kill yourself. Okay. Time. Chelsea checks in on the vaginal status of the other two girls.
Thank you for bringing this up.
Yeah.
I would just like to say this, which is, we talked about this, but we watched Love Island UK, which is, you know, a beautiful, pleasant show where when they talk about sex, they're like, did you go to graduation? They're like, oh, I made it to, like, you know, to third base. And they're like,
we were at the salon.
And here they're like, oh, you sore? I'm sore as fuck. I've been sore since day one. It's just like you're just American. I just can't deal with it. We're disgusting people. That's really what it is.
You know, all right, so you can say that for the UK, but any reality show from Australia, I know completely.
Oh, Australia,
right. Australia is great. Yeah.
Australia is America's slutty little sister.
Well, they're
100%.
They've been prisoners.
And she's hotter.
And she's, I hope we didn't lose any Australian listeners by calling them.
I love Australia.
They're proud of it. They're like,
yeah, they're great.
With Aussies across the street from me, I have such a reverence for Aussies. They're wonderful people.
Oh, my grandmother was Australian. I love it. Yeah.
No, I didn't know this.
So, where are we?
Three amigos chat. It's Kwame, Brett, and Marshall, and they're all kind of relationships. And then Brett says he feels happy that someone's telling him they love him because he comes from a family that where that word's not used. And then Marshall says the three of them have to set the precedent for black men on a reality show that you can share your emotions, which I thought was pretty grandiose of him.
Yeah. You guys take
men
it away.
Men don't have this conversation. Okay.
Brett, checks in with the other guys. I love that the three black guys are talking about their feelings. And also, what are these three dope motherfuckers is going to do, except for Kwame, talking to fucking Zach and Paul?
I know. They don't even, I love that. They don't even talk as like a man group. It's like the white guy, the white losers over here, and then the three black guys over here. It's funny.
Dorks. They're like, I'm not going to talk to those guys. They're fucking dorks. I can't talk.
Don't talk that way about Zach.
Zach is a dork. I'm sorry. Micah and Paul show up, and Chelsea says that she thinks that they've squashed it, but that if it's going to go any further, we're going to have a problem. And this is when I talk about the lengthy show.
Yeah.
Say it again. Chelsea, you're not going to have a problem. You have a 5-alarm problem.
It's over, honey. It's over, Johnny. Yeah, I agree.
And that should be it. You know you love him, but if... Well, so he says that he loves her, and then if you're engaged to somebody, they flirt with another girl, apologizes, then does it again.
Yeah.
That would be it. You should know that you're dating a scumbag.
It says he doesn't have closure. Right.
Yeah.
He says twice he doesn't have closure. I mean, my other issue with him is that they had sex, right? And he's like, now he knows, because obviously from their pod talks where she's like, oh, we spiritually, we must like make love to each other. Like, he gets what this means to her. So the fact that he's also like, she's so sore and they're fucking every day, and then he's still trying to do this is disgusting. It's like
burning up her chemicals. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could say she was like, he busted me open or something. Like, my God.
Yes, she did say something.
So Jackie continues to be the omniscient narrator of this show. She's like the Greek chorus of the show. She calls Micah a lone bitch. Fucking perfect. Perfect. And that when she's not with Frick and Frack, she's out of place. It's just, it's such a perfect read on Blake Lively and Savages. And then
Blake Lively and Savages.
Is she reminding you of Blake Lively in the town? Or like what Blake Lively?
No.
Blake Lively in the mid 2000s to like the
more Gossip Girl, I'd say.
She did that.
Blake Lively in the town was the hottest she was, screwing Ben Affleck. Come on.
In the town, she was addicted to everything.
Yes. And then
Savages, she plays the same kind of, she smokes a lot of weed and she gets kidnapped by the cartel and her mascara runs all the time. Yes. That was her role.
She might be the shark one, the shark movie, Blake Lively.
No, again, too generous.
Yeah, the one where she's just on a beef for an hour and a half, getting bites taken out of her.
Usually I'm shitting all over Blake Lively, but I will not give Micah a Blake Lively reference. I just can't.
No. Blake
Lively. More Honey Boo Boo mixed with Blake Lively.
I hear you. I understand your qualms. All right. So the frack walks in, Zach and Paul wonder on whether or not they've made the right choice. And this is where we see that Paul is quite a fucking dickhead.
Yeah, he's a dickhead. All right. So they are both talking about like their, I guess, their failing engagements.
Yeah.
And they both talk about who they could have chosen. And with Zach, it's Bliss. And then with Paul, it's Amber.
Yeah.
Now, bad news for Paul, Amber's gotten married two more times since leaving the pods.
And also, if Paul took one look at Amber, he would refuse her because he's a bro and he's into aesthetics. That's
yes. I think Amber was pretty.
He wants Bette Midler.
He wants
Hocus Pocus.
He strikes me as, he gives me, I don't know if you guys watch Below Deck, but he reminds me of Ross from Below Deck a little bit.
Oh, the bosun.
The sex addict bosun.
Yeah,
he's giving me those vibes.
He would have sex addict. He probably would be, yeah.
Yeah, he gives me those vibes. I don't know. He's probably not a sex addict in the way that Ross is, because Ross has had sex with, I think, a Wilt Chamberlain number of women. But same
drinking potions and having sex.
Yeah.
I just think that, just one thing on Amber. If you've had two marriages, you cannot be on Love is Blind. No,
disqualified.
That's a disqualifier. Absolutely.
I think so too. Well, Kwame continues to talk about Micah. Kwame, shut up. And then we get to the Mean Girls. Micah heads over and has a chat with, Micah first talks to Irina, and they just continue with the shitting on the other women thing.
Yes. Very mean. And then Micah asks if she can speak to Chelsea. And then before Kwame goes away, Chelsea does a big baller move here. She says, do you mind clearing my teeth?
Yeah.
This was his Bobby Brown dislodging poop out of Whitney's asshole moment.
I think so.
This is the ultimate act of love from a partner.
Yeah. This is black love.
I think it was a bit of a stunt on her part. Like, look how intimate we are. He's going to pick this out of my teeth and I'm going to do it in front of you. And I don't give a shit. Like, I think it was an intentional move on her part. 100%.
And he eats it.
I really like her. She's fucking cool.
I like her vibe. Her vibe, like Justine mentioned, the pods was problematic. Like, she was giving me a little bit like she would be a yogi who like was really head in the clouds, but she's much more grounded than she appeared in the pods.
I love her. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes' wife is cool.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's such a good pull. Oh my God.
Can't unsee it now, right? It's ruined. Yeah.
And also, shame on you, because I don't want to have to say this. You're the one that's supposed to say this. Is there any reality where she's 30 years old?
No.
No, she's a hard 49.
You got 30 years old, right?
No.
Come on.
Okay. She's not, I don't think.
So
I don't want to be an ageist.
Her vagina is.
Okay, so Chelsea... We had this chat. Very brief. Micah thinks that Chelsea's jealous and is a little pissed that Kwame is being kept from her. So that's why she has to go over and talk to Chelsea. It's this weird, stupid rationalization of the problem that Micah is confronting. Like, why can't I just fucking touch Kwame's face more? Like, it's really fucked up that Chelsea's not letting me do that. that's not the issue here. So it rains on their parade, unfortunately, because I wanted to see Chelsea decimate her.
I know. I thought
it would have been a great scene of Chelsea just saying like the fuck.
She would have.
Yeah.
I think it would have gotten there if the rain hadn't come. I think they were getting into it.
Well, so Blake Lively's grandma rained down on for her.
Yeah, there you go.
So Paul tells Chelsea, on Frack's behalf? Like,
yeah, how dare he?
How dare he break up with Irina? What are you talking about? Everyone should break up with Irina until she gets out
literally
of years of therapy.
Right.
Everyone should break up with Irina.
She needs to go directly to therapy.
Yeah, and I don't know that it would take, but who knows? People are open to it at different times in their life.
The scene coming up, I'm going to put this, like rank this. There's some great scenes in reality TV. There was Teresa Giudice tipping the table over.
Yeah.
Of course.
Geneva's perfect Halloween costume. Geneva did that for Halloween. She looked impeccable.
So there's so many great moments where, for a moment, it's not staged. It's not cooked. The producers do not their little bells and whistles to it, and you just get a conversation that is so uncomfortable, but you're like a fly on a wall and you're like, thank you for creating this.
Yeah,
that is this final conversation between these two.
Yeah, these two have given us so much incredible television, and I can't thank them enough for their service. I have played the Zach singing to Irina scene times for different people over the course of this weekend.
I fast forwarded. I couldn't watch it once.
Someone said he ripped it off TikTok, but I don't know if that's the truth.
Irina, and then he said, "I love you," and then he keeps repeating it. And if I was Irina, I'd be like, "What?" I mean, he could have ended the song five times.
Yeah, he said, "I love
you." Mother's rolling around in her G-string. God,
in the grave.
Okay, so we have to get to this Hitler and Ava in the bunker conversation.
Don't forget the dog.
They break up with one another. There is a pillow between them. What a beautiful metaphor. And we do this thing where the pattern of this conflict is just one-upping each other with levels of insult. So Irina says we shouldn't sit together on the plane. Zach says, I agree. This has been horrible.
Irina fucking horrible.
It has been five minutes with Paul was better than 5 days with you. And then Zach calls it. I mean, it's literally, it's just.
I love this too. She says something like, look, I don't think I need to name all the things I don't like about you. And then proceeds to rival off. She's like, you shave your legs. That's weird.
That is weird. Was he swim meet?
She's so horrible. She touts out a bunch of bullshit covering up the fact that she's a barbecue girl who just wanted to get to Mexico. And he says, that sounds like a bullshit. Do you want to hear my theory? That's when she just says no. And then says, I'm not going to list a bunch of shit that I hate about you, and proceeds to do so. She is a demon of a human being.
But the beauty is, after the breakup, the clarity.
Yes.
The
friendship that I felt.
Well, honestly, the freedom to openly hate one another and just say how they feel is beautiful. I love it. Like when she's like, finally, when they're in there brushing their teeth or whatever, she's like, I was going to leave you when I first saw you. Like they just keep, she just keeps going. Like, I was going to leave you when I first saw you, but it is what
Alan
it is.
Peg Bundy.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's like, we stay burping the fault lines a lot on this show. They just split the fucking thing wide.
Yeah.
And the lava just pours out.
It's great.
But
very cathartic telling someone how much you hated them.
The
it made me feel good. It was nice.
It made me so happy that he gets the final blow in, because they do this kind of ladder climbing of hatred for one another, which was very what's the word when it starts with a C and it makes you feel like you feel relieved.
Catharsis.
Yes, it was very cathartic watching them just shit on each other. But when she talks about how he wants another person, he says, you do too, and it's your best friend's guy. And that was like, that was it. He was just like, have fun, you're a fucking home demon.
But
I hope she gets him.
The one-upmanship doesn't, because she goes, yeah, and I might.
Yeah.
She's going to.
And he even goes, like, I was thinking about Bliss the whole time. Like, just again, like the moment where they're like, okay, we're done. And then it's just, they're spewing shit at each other. Like, again, that's gold. I will think about that the rest of the year.
It was so good. Love is Blind moment.
Yes.
But the fact that the camera pans to her as he says she's like the ultimate homewrecker. And it's just, she's in her robe brushing her teeth, and she's just this little gremlin in this mirror. And we're just all wondering, how is this person the one that is to cause this much havoc. I don't fucking
can't wait
get
to
it.
See her glow up.
Yeah, quite a glow up. So we, for some reason, do not end with this. This would have been a perfect thing to end with, but we get back to Kwame and Chelsea. They run through the couples, and excuse me, Chelsea's humor is on display here. Like, she, in this moment, she strikes me as the kind of person who you could just have so much fun with just at the house on a Saturday morning.
Glass of wine at the bar.
Yeah, exactly. She's so funny.
Chelsea is really so. Sold you guys.
I know. She's on the show, so she has to be broken, and she's definitely 34. But when you're comparing her to the rest of the crop of shit,
No, she's great.
She's
the
top tier.
I can't get over her almost proposing to call me. I thought she was. I just laugh at her. It just made me laugh. That's all I see. Like, you're a great father. You're a great brother. The grocery store workers love you. You know, you don't even know this guy.
You don't know shit about him. But yeah, it's really.
I'm just so opposite. It's just so funny. Yeah.
We might have to do this again with you guys.
Yeah.
I guess should we wrap it up?
Well, we wrap up with Zach and Bliss in Seattle. There's no like. This is very odd because there's no fanfare surrounding them each other for the first time.
No.
They just sit down and have a conversation.
Bliss, she got screwed. She's making cupcakes for this man and just is a sweet. She literally seems like she would have loved Zach and just wrote it out. Like, I think he definitely made the wrong choice, but it gave us great television. So
I feel like it's a little different. With men and women, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think women like the chase as much as guys. Like, guys don't.
Ooh, that's wrong.
Yeah, wrong.
Well, my wife always says the guy has to be chasing. And that's what makes the relationship. If the
I
girl
think that's biologic.
Oh, yeah, sorry. The girls like the game of the chase. If a guy is too readily available, they will be like, eh, like it's
an even balance.
They want a little bit of a chase.
That's for sure. That should be the way that biology plays out.
I
feel like guys are also kind of turned off when women are too into them too fast.
Yes.
Like
I think that's what showed with Kwame and Paul. So, yeah.
I think a lot of things come into play, like the person's background and upbringing too. Naturally, it wouldn't be a turnoff if someone was really into you. Sometimes that's more of how it would be.
Yeah, I just remember when an ex-girlfriend of mine took me shopping and bought me a bunch of groceries on our first date. And I was just like, oh God, we don't even know each other. What are you doing?
But is this a charity? What? That's odd.
That's odd. Yeah, that's a red flag.
You'd be like, thanks for the groceries. See you never.
Yeah.
It kind of
let's go to Costco.
Yeah, she introduced me to jalapeno Cheetos. I'd never had them. Anyways,
she's outside banging pots and pans outside your house.
All right, I think we need to do this. We got to circle back at the end. Circle back, right? I'm in my business speak at the end of the show.
We're very
see what we feel.
We'll touch base.
We're far away on some people, so let's see.
No, I love Chelsea too. I just find it funny.
Yeah,
feel better
where we land. It was always, it's always great talking to you guys. And we'll do it again soon.
Yeah, we'll see you guys soon. The rest of Love is Blind, everybody. We'll see you soon.
See you soon.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.